serenity is service for your well-being. I would like to invite those listening to go to two of my websites. One being serenitypegginichols.com. Here you can see the services that I offer, from private readings to giving you energy work, spiritual awareness, crystal classes, and Reiki, definitely remotely with the convenience of Skype. And for those who can't always schedule appointments for aura chakra cleansings or do a past life regression, please check out my CDs. It's like having me right there with you. We will guide you step by step. It's a great tool to assist you, not only once you will use these, but possibly two or three times whenever it is needed in the privacy of your home. The other website is DaVinciChannelledArt.com. And for those who have experienced channeling, or those who have just heard about people being channeled, you will enjoy the story of Jack Redman and his experience having Da Vinci channeled through him and his amazing prints and artwork. So please visit those sites. Now, back to business. My guest tonight is Diana Sullivan, who lives in historical Marshall, Michigan. She is an author of a wonderful children's book, and I hear she has a new piece being published. She's not only a wife, a mother, but a 5-year cancer survivor. Welcome, Diana.
Hi, Peggy. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. And you, my dear?
I'm doing really well. I just had dinner, and I'm feeling great.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Diana, you're just an amazing woman, and I'm glad I'm able to also call you a friend. And I'd like to start the program out with something that's really, I think, touches your heart in a joyous manner, and that's your children's book. Would you like to talk about what inspired you to write this book? And I'm going to let you pronounce the name, because I get tongue-twisted with this. So, would you like to give us the title of that book?
Sure. It's called Oinga Boinga's Oh My. And I love the way it sounds, because it just sounds so bouncy and fun.
What inspired you, Diana, to write this book?
My children were little, and I had two little boys, and they were all the time getting into the toy box and pulling things out. And they'd go take their baths, and they'd leave the towels on the floor. They'd get a bowl of cereal, and they'd leave the cereal out, and maybe it'd be spilled all over the table. And I'd get frustrated because I'd ask them, can you please clean up after yourselves, as most mothers do. But I felt like I was always, you know, after them, and I didn't like that. So I began telling them the story about the Oinga Boingas and what happens when you don't clean your house. And I told the story to him for a few years, and then I didn't tell it anymore. And one day I was telling it to my husband, Eric, and he says, you need to write this down. So I wrote it down, and that year I was attending college at Kellogg Community College, and they have a magazine that they put out every year that is juried. And I submitted my story to them, and it was published in their publication that year. And then it sat in a drawer for 15 years. And Marshall has a really nice publishing company. It's called Two Moon Press. And I'd always wanted to get it published. And I one day walked by there and went in and talked to the gentleman, and he agreed to publish it. And that's the history.
And I have to tell those listening, it's a delightful book, and it's very colorful. And the illustrations are charming. Now, the illustrations, now, did you do those, Diana, or did you have assistance with that?
No, I worked with an artist here in town. Her name is Sharon Merchant, and I would basically talk about what I wanted to see, and then she would come up with the artwork, and then I go over the artwork, and if, you know, I thought something needed to be changed, she was very accommodating. Don Samora, who owns Two Moon Press, was also instrumental in the artwork. And I love the artwork. I think that's what draws people in, because it's so charming.
It is, and I have to assure the listeners about Serenity. We were able to have you there doing a book signing. I believe it was around December.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun and having you there. And I believe you were very successful in the sales of and getting people in. And then your husband, I believe, was out on the street kind of hooking people to bring them in. But it was a fun evening, and we were so happy to have you there with us.
I had a really good time, and we did do really well that evening. And we had a lot of children that came, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, are you going to be having other book signings here in the near future?
I have a book signing July 16th at Outside Two Moon Press. Let's see here. Let me check the date, the time. Eric wanted to let you know that he's not hearing it broadcast right now, so he's not sure if there's a problem. He thinks there might be something cutting out.
Oh, okay. But you're coming loud and clear through here, so I think you're fine.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Let me get back to this book signing. I have a book signing on the 16th, and that is on a Saturday. It's during the Blues Festival. And it's going from 9 in the morning, and I assume till late that evening. I'm not sure how long I'll be there. And then you mentioned earlier that I have another piece that's coming out. It's part of an anthology. And I'm trying to get, like, my phone is not cooperating for me here. But the other piece that's coming out is part of an anthology, and the name of the anthology is called The Unknown Sea. And I'm having a book signing on July 13th for that. And go ahead.
Now, with your book that's already published, now, is there a website that these are a place that these people can go to if they want to purchase it?
Mm-hmm. Oingo Boingo Zomai can be purchased at Amazon.com. And we're working on getting it in at Barnes & Noble, but that hasn't happened yet. It can also be purchased through Two Moon Press here in Marshall.
Wonderful. And those who are familiar with Marshall, it's a wonderful historical town, a lot of history. And we do have this wonderful event coming, the cruise to the fountain with all these antique cars and a blues festival. And so people who are able, please come to it and visit Diana and purchase her book. It's very charming, and it'll be the perfect gift for that son or daughter or grandchild. But I also, since I have you tonight, Diana, you're such an inspiration for men and women around, because I don't believe there's a household that people haven't heard the word cancer. It's quite a dramatic word, and how it affects people when you just hear it, but actually living through it. Would you like to share with us a little of your story and your history of when you heard that word for the very first time from your doctors? And we'll just kind of go from there.
All righty. I was diagnosed 5 years ago with breast cancer. I had been experiencing pain in my left breast, and I had associated it with work I'd been doing in my yard. And I had assumed that I had pulled a muscle. And I had gone to see my doctor, and he assured me it was not cancer. That following year in January, I went for my normal mammogram, and they did indeed find something. And they decided to take a more definitive look at the mammogram, basically they take a closer look at it, and they showed something abnormal, so they recommended that I have an ultrasound, which I did then have. And then, again, it showed an abnormality. And then I was scheduled for a biopsy, which came back cancerous. So they didn't know. They knew how big it was. It was 2 centimeters, which isn't very big. But they didn't know until they went in. And if it had invaded anything. And I was very fortunate. It did not involve any of the lymph nodes. So the doctor recommended chemo and radiation. And I asked him if I absolutely had to have the chemo. And at that time, he told me that it would depend. They had a test they could do, and that test told you what your chance of reoccurrence was. And if that chance was low, then I would not have to have the chemo. And it, luckily for me, it turned out I didn't. But I had 33 and a half treatments of radiation, and I had to go every single day for 6.5 weeks.
Well, that's dramatic, no matter how you look at that.
Yes, because once they say cancer, you know, it's your whole life changes. And in a way, I felt like my life was saved because of the cancer, because I looked at things so much more differently after that.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes we don't realize how precious life is until we're threatened of that loss. I know your husband is one of your pillars of strength, but along with that, I know your faith has really carried you through this journey with your treatments and being a wonderful survivor now. Would you like to share a little bit about how the cancer impacted your sons and your husband and how that, I think, their energy and assisted you?
My husband was there with me all the time. He was always positive about everything, and he never had a concern that it was going to be extremely serious. He was always sure that everything was going to work out. My youngest son, he was not able to be there during my surgery, so he brought me a teddy bear, and he called it Joshy Bear. And the little teddy bear has boxer shorts on it because he always wears boxer shorts. And I was able to carry the little bear with me when I went into surgery. And so that I still have the bear to this day. And so they did really help me. And things they don't tell you when you have cancer, you know, it's a single journey. I mean, even though you have support around you, you have to take that journey on your own. And when you go in for the radiation, they take you into the room and they lay you on a cold steel table, and it's very impersonal. And other than adjusting you so that the radiation can hit the proper area, no one can be in that room with you because of the radiation. And the machine is open-ended, and even though it's open-ended, you feel claustrophobic because the machine, it goes from one side of your body over the other side of your body, and it's very close to your face. So you feel as though, you know, it's right there in your face, and it's a reminder that you do have cancer. And what I would tell myself, because it was very difficult to be in there, is that I was getting a tanning treatment, and I would close my eyes, and I would pretend as though I was getting the sun's rays, and I was healing. So, but there was one particular day that I had a very difficult day. I felt extremely claustrophobic. I felt really alone. I was afraid. I was very afraid that day. And I remember closing my eyes, and I felt like golden orbs surrounding my body. And it felt like all these golden orbs were giving their energy into my body, and they were helping to heal me, and they were telling me it was okay, and that I didn't need to be afraid anymore. And from that point on, I was really good with the treatments.
Thank you for sharing that, Diana, with our audience. And I know a lot of people, when you start talking about orbs or angels, and you sometimes get that strange look, and the non-believers. But I thought, you know, this audience would love hearing this story, because we do have these beautiful angels or orbs, energy that comes to help us, to guide us, to comfort. And feeling their presence, even though you might not see the outline of the bodies or the wings, you still feel that presence. And it's so amazing. And the warmth, that energy of healing that they give you, it's beyond words. But there's no doubt that you were being assisted. And each of those tests that followed or treatments, how much easier it was for you.
Oh, I don't think I could have gone through it without that particular day. From that day on, it was much, much easier for me. And the staff is very, when you are told you have cancer, you feel as though you don't have a choice, that the control has been taken from you. And I decided that I didn't want that. I remember one day my sister called me, and she had, you know, she was concerned, and she had my best interest at heart, but she left a message on my answering machine, and she says, "Oh, Diana, I'm so sorry." And I became angry with her, and I was like, "Do not call me unless you have something positive to say to me, because I am not in that place, and I am not going in that place." And I felt like I had to take control, because everything else was out of my control. So when I went in for my radiation treatments, they would give me a gown. They'd say, "Here you go, put this gown on." And I said, "No, I'm not going to wear it." And they go, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Because I'm not sick. I'm not wearing it." So then they said, "Well, here's a robe you can wear." And I said, "I'm not wearing this." And they go, "Well, why not?" "I'm not sick." And they're like, "Well, what are you going to wear?" "I'm going to wear my street clothes." "Well, what are you going to do when you get in there?" "I'm going to take my street clothes off, and then you can do your treatment." But that was my way of saying, this is my body, and even though I can't control everything about it, this much I can control.
Well, you were able to take charge and control the situation instead of it controlling you, and that's so important. It's not giving in to that ugliness, that word of cancer, or any illness that you may be inflicted with. Our attitude plays such a role in our healing, our mending, and the energy of others. And we talked about this before, just how negativity, how it can just eat at you like a vampire, and it just tries to drain you. And I like that you stood up and you not allowing that to come into your space, and that you claimed that energy. "This is mine. I'm protecting it." And I think that played a tremendous role in expediting your healing. It's like walking into a room and you are feeling absolutely wonderful, and you get closer to a group of people, and it's like you feel that energy being drained from you because of their negativity. And I think you're more conscious of that when you're not at your best, when you're not feeling well, or in your case, you're fighting a cancer. So you were smart. You kept those people at arm's length.
I had to claim my space. It wasn't about the other people. It was about me. And at that time, I had to worry about getting well. And if I had to divide my attention between me and the other people, that meant that I was draining that energy from myself. And I knew I needed all the energy I could get to help me heal.
Absolutely. Now, this has been 5 years, and you are doing well, and no reoccurrences, and has a doctor's given you a clean bill of health?
Right now, I'm in remission. I was taking tamoxifen, which I took every day for 5 years. I was taken off of that in April. At this time, I don't go back to see the doctor till October. I was seeing him every 3 months. I'm now down to seeing him every 6 months. So October will be my first 6 month checkup, but I'm feeling well, and I think I'm doing well.
Well, you look wonderful. I'm so fortunate that I see you walking down the street on occasion, or you're coming into Serenity, and you are an inspiration, Diana. Because this week alone, I've had several people coming into the coffee shop, and I would dare say one out of every five were telling their stories and their recovery from cancer. Okay. We just don't realize the magnitude of just how many people are walking, you know, with this disease, and how dramatic it is when they just hear it. But they're surviving. They're taking a positive attitude, and that's one thing that's been consistent with, especially women, is that I fought back. I was not going to give in.
I agree. I would caution those that do have cancer to take that space and make it your own, and don't allow someone else to come into it. Make sure that you're using that time to heal yourself. You're going to have people that are going to come up, and they're going to want to tell you stories about, "Well, my aunt, she had cancer and she died," or "My uncle, he had cancer and he died." And for those who were, they're meaning well, I would ask that you not tell those kind of stories, because when you're a cancer survivor and you're trying to fight, it it's heartbreaking to hear those stories, and here you are fighting it, and you need all your energy to be able to do that, and it makes it hard when people tell you those stories.
Well, it can be very depressing, and at times you don't realize those stories linger, and it's, they just stay with you, and we need all the positive that we can have, and definitely not negative. Life has enough of that, and so put up those walls. Keep yourself and your aura field very safe, and be conscious of the energy of others around you, and if they are those energy vampires, send them away. Just do not give them any of your energy.
I agree. I totally agree. I did go to a support group for a short period of time, and for the most part, all the women there were positive. There was one individual, she'd had a really bad time of it, and she wanted to kind of linger in that negativity, and I just decided, I can't give in to that, so I didn't go back, which is a shame, because the other women were very nice.
Well, but you have to go and pay attention to what resonates with you, and if it didn't, listen to that higher self and maybe walking away, not attending that, again, speedy-aided your healing and not having any more obstacle blocks in your way. So, now I want to talk a little bit about your cat. And by the way, how is the cat doing?
Well, she's doing fine. She's laying right here next to me. She keeps walking back and forth in front of the computer. She wants to be the center of attention. Her name is Sunset. And we don't really know how old she is. She was a stray, and she was found at a bird sanctuary. And we estimated at the time that she was 12 years old, but she may be older. She was a full-figured gal at one time. And here recently, she was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. And she lost quite a considerable amount of weight. And I contacted you because I was concerned because she didn't want to eat. But she seems to be doing better now.
Wonderful. Well, the reason I bring her up, number one, because I am concerned, but I always talk in my classes and people in general that energy has no barriers. And I know sometimes there are skeptics of those who think remotely, picking up or doing a reading or tuning into another person or an animal with accuracy. And for the listeners, I was in my home in Cape Coral, Florida a few weeks ago, and I get a call from Michigan, and it was Diana and her husband. And Eric, he asked, he says, "We're having a problem with our cat, and I'd rather not have a lot of details because I want to just go into the energy." And so I proceeded to tell him what I was picking up, and it was kind of fun because he kind of gasped a couple times, and he goes, You're right on. This is the issue she's having. So with touching and tapping into energy, it's amazing to be that helping hand. And those who believe in that energy, you can tap into it. And touching into an individual, that animal. And I'm glad you took the advice and that she's doing much better. And I am picking up. She does need to have a little bit more water, honey. I feel that she is a little bit dehydrated, so you might even get an eyedropper and just give her a little bit extra and just make sure she doesn't lack any more water than what she is.
All right, I will do that. She's sitting here playing with my pen now. Oh, she's having nice. A high old time.
Well, they like to get your attention no matter if you're on the air or not. So that's
yes,
a good thing.
She doesn't realize that she's on the air. She just wants to play.
Well, I wish we all had that kind of energy.
Oh, no kidding. I can't believe she's 12 years old and still playing, or older. They don't really know how old she is. But I will make sure she gets some more water. She has a very large container of water out in the living room that it's like a couple gallons. We fill it with water and they can drink freely when they want to.
Okay, well, just keep an eye on her, honey, because I'm just picking up. She does need a little bit more.
Well, you can always do a reading on Cersei's or Trasdol if you'd like. Trasdol's giving me a fit right now. He's wanting to go to bed. And Cersei's is hanging around. She's taken Sunset's place. She's become the full-figured gal now.
Oh, well, she has you well-trained, my dear.
Oh, she does. She likes to eat. They all like to eat.
It's her favorite pastime, I think, for two-legged and four-legged. And so, but let's kind of go back kind of before I let you go. And in a summary, or if you had any advice that you would like to give any individual, if their body just gives them some signals that maybe there's something wrong, you know, having them pay attention, would you advise them to immediately address it and go see a doctor?
Well, for me, as I said, I had discovered that I had pain in that left breast, and I attributed it to a pulled muscle, and so did the doctor. But I would say if you have something like that, make sure you pursue it. Also, if you're noticing that you're feeling fatigued for no apparent reason, you don't have a cold, you don't have a vitamin deficiency or any other problem that you can think of, cancer is very fatiguing, and you just feel tired. You don't know why, but you just feel tired. So I would suggest that you contact your doctor and look into that if that's another problem that you're having. And make sure you go, please, please go and have your mammogram done every year. I know it's not the most comfortable test, and it's, you know, it takes time out of your day, and, you know, it's not something that we want to do, but it's very important that we all go and have those tests done.
I agree. You know, it's surprising our bodies will let us know when something is wrong. And it's just when we kind of ignore it, or we kind of turn that blind eye and go, no, I don't want to listen. But early detection is so crucial. And the higher self won't lie to you. Pay attention. Listen when it's saying there's something wrong here. If it is going to regular medicine, doctors, or holistic practitioners, please, listeners, go pay attention and take care of it in the very early stages. And Diana, once again, remind us where we can send the listeners to go and get your book.
Alrighty. Oinga Boingas Oh My is available on Amazon.com. The anthology book, which is called The Unknown Sea, will be out in mid-July, and I will be doing a book signing in front of Two Moon Press in Marshall on the 13th from 4 to 7 p.m. for that. And on the 16th in Marshall, I will be doing a book signing for Oinga Boinga's Oh My. That's during our Blues Festival here in Marshall. And please come down and tell me that you heard me on the radio, and I will be glad to sign a book and put your child's name in there and write a little message to them. Or if you're purchasing the anthology, those that are purchasing that's called The Unknown Sea, all the proceeds are going to the Cancer Center in Battle Creek.
Oh, it's a wonderful cause, Diana, and it's very gracious of you to do that. Well, listeners, please get online and buy her book. It's fantastic.
And I want to say it's not just my piece. It's a collection of short stories, the anthology. The Unknown Sea is a collection of short stories by several authors here in Marshall. So it's not just my piece you'll be buying. You'll be getting many authors' pieces. And like I said, all the donations are going to the Battle Creek Cancer Center. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Diana. It's been a pleasure having you on the air, and give big hug to the cat and a hello to your husband.
Alrighty.
And we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much, Peggy. And I'll be down there soon for a coffee.
Thank you.
All right. You have a good evening.
You too, dear. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Thank you, listeners. I do hope that you go and check out her book. It is so charming. My husband and I bought one and had it signed by her and sent it to the granddaughter. And from my understanding, she carries it around and goes and reads it over and over again. So it's a wonderful investment. I would also like to ask for some feedback here. This is our second program. Hopefully this one's a little bit smoother than the first. But I would like if you would leave feedback, but also give us some ideas of what subject you would like for us to talk about. Next week, I would like to go into my emails and have you leave first names only and give me your birth date and the date of your partner or a possible potential partner, and let me see if he or she is truly a good emotional investment. There's so much that we can learn through astrology and also our birth signs, but the date you're born on, which we call a psychic number, it plays a big role in compatibility, but also things that you can expect in the relationship. So please go to my website. You go to serenity.nichols@gmail.com if you just want to leave an email with suggestions, but also those birthdays. And next week we'll just give some short little quirks about the relationship. And then if you would like a long, more private, we can set up that appointment. And Skype is so wonderful, so we can do it that way. Now, hopefully our gentleman over in California, if I just can promptly ask if we can take a short pause here, that would be wonderful. And when we come back, I would like to address our chakras, because they're such wonderful housing centers of energy, and that I truly believe that each emotional breakdown is gathered into our bodies in particular chakras. So if it is possible, gentlemen, on that end, can we take a short break? I'm not sure if we're off the air, so I'm going to go ahead and continue. They haven't come in and give me my signal. So if there's any listeners out there who would like to do any call-ins and we can do some impromptu readings for you, be it for your animals or for you, about relationships, we can address it impromptu. So until then, let's go and let's talk about our chakras. We have 7 wonderful chakras in our body, and the first one being our base. It addresses our kidneys, and it also houses our age from 1 to 7. Here, your color is going to be red, and its function is for security, your foundations of life, trust in life, your ability to manifest what you need. This is a great foundation. Your second chakra is the sacral. Here the color is orange. The element here is water. And I guess I should say for our first chakra, the element there was earth. Here this chakra houses your time life of 7 to 14. Is related to your sexual organs, your bladder, and your prostate. It addresses emotions, your self-worth, sexuality, open expression, being able to give and receive. Then we move upward to your third chakra, the solar plexus. The color is yellow, the element fire. Here it addresses your age 14 to 21, but then it also houses all the years. So if you're 50, it houses up 50 years. Here the spleen, the liver, the gallbladder, and the pancreas are addressed. Power, control, identity, empathy, your relationships, activity, and your ability to accept others. This is all housed in your emotional chakra. One of the most important, I feel, is the fourth chakra, your heart. Here the color is a beautiful emerald green. The element is air. And here it houses 21 to 28, but then it continues for all the ages. The physical heart, of course, is addressed here. unconditional love, compassion, healing, warmth, ability to transform energies with love. The fifth chakra, the throat, the color is a beautiful sky blue. The element is ether, ages 28 to 35, and then continues again for each year. The thyroid and the vocal cords are addressed. Your communication, expression, your creativity, your ability to speak your truth, a connection to the outside world. The sixth chakra, the third eye, the color is violet. The element is none. The ages, 35 to 42 and forward. Consciousness, perception, the higher mind, intellect, intuition, and balance. Going to the fifth chakra, the crown. The color is white or gold. The element is none. Age 42 to 49. Self-realization, human perfection, awareness, and eternal self. These are descriptions that you will find in most books when you read about them. But when I do the aura chakra cleansings in the privacy of serenity or in your home, but also remotely, I address your chakras in a different manner. I'd like to walk through your life and tell you what has happened. When we're very young, possibly an injury happened, an assault, and the mind shuts down and you don't remember that something happened. So even if you go in for counseling or therapy, it's hard to talk about something that you don't remember. So having the ability to have those doors opened by someone as myself or another person that can read your housing units, your energy, reawaken what has been dormant and get you back into balance. Vicky, hello, how may I help you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Vicky, hello. How are you, dear?
I'm doing good, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, and how may I help you, dear?
I just like to know what you see coming up for me and Michael in the next, like, couple months. Anything stand out for us?
Okay, let me just take a moment going into your vibration. Okay. Give me, honey, May I have his day of birth again? Just the day he was born on.
June 26th.
Okay, June 26th. Okay. And Vicky, let me have yours again.
June 29th.
29th. Okay, very close together. Okay. Okay. I'm doing a little figuring here, honey. Again, you're 11, and so you're a 2. You are a number of change. Michael is a number of perfection. Okay. Let's see what we can come into for the future. All right. I almost feel like there's a vibration of stubbornness going on between the two of you right now. Are you having some type of blockages going on?
I wouldn't say stubbornness. We're just kind of like talking. Like we got back together, and he's like, I'm trying to see where this is going, and I don't think it's stubbornness. It could be a little stubbornness, but it's at the end of the day, it's love between us.
Oh well, that's a good thing. Well, you are definitely a number of change, honey. And here, because I'm going from the day you're born on, 2 and 9 equals an 11. 1 and 1 is a 2. So you're going to have a lot of changes, Vicky, going on. So it's going to be hard. Are you there, my dear?
Yeah. Okay. Oh. You're kind of breaking up, but I think it's better.
Okay. Thank you. So with your vibration right now, there's going to be a lot of changes going on. especially with...
Yeah, you're breaking up. It's very, very breaking up. I'm not sure.
Okay, I am so sorry. You're coming
okay, it's better now. Like, right now it's perfect.
Is it perfect? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping my equipment is all right. Well, you're going to be going through a lot of changes, honey, because of the transition in the... with this going on in the sky, let's put it that way. The transition period is change, getting rid of things that no longer assist you. And so if you can get rid of a lot of the baggage and things that you've been carrying in and around you, and I get the number six for like the last 6 years, it's going to help you move forward with your number eight gentleman here. He's born on the 26th, so he's an 8. Okay, he's a number of perfection, but he's also very self-contained, okay, because 8's the only number that no matter how you turn it, they can function very well by themselves. I hesitate here because I feel there's some blockage is still going on, honey. Is there been a talk about a move, a physical move for you guys?
Not at the moment, but it's something that's on my mind, and it's a long distance at the moment, so maybe you're picking up on the distance. But yeah, there has to eventually be a move of some sort for this to work out.
Okay. Okay. You're going to be the one moving, honey. Okay, because I'm circling you. So I think I want you to make sure that you are fully invested. But most importantly, honey, if he's fully invested, okay? Because he's a good guy. I mean, he's very strong. He's very independent. But my concern here, normally in the psychic vibration, honey, you being a number two, you normally will house very well with someone who is a 4, a 5, and a 7. With him being an 8, he'll normally do well with someone whose psychic number is a 3, a 6, another 8, or a 9. Okay? Now, this isn't etched in stone, but you're both going to have to work very, very hard. You're going to be the one that's going to be having to do the moving, the changes. And if you're willing to do that, I wish I could say this is going to be a smooth ride, but I don't see that happening, honey. I see some bumps, and then number 3 comes in. So I'm going to say 3 months, there's going to be some challenges that are going to come ahead for you.
Yeah, I can. It's probably like family or like, you know, outside forces, maybe like not, maybe I wouldn't say approving, but just kind of like dissecting him and, you know.
Yeah. Honey, you know, just when it comes down at the end of the day, it's between the two of you. I do feel there's a really strong harmony here. He's very strong. Okay, he's going to be more the strength in this relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I really want you to talk and tune, honey, with your higher self, okay?
Yeah. When you said 3 months, what do you feel like stands out within those 3 months? Like, what do you feel like... the challenge, is it with family or outside forces, or
well,
you know, like,
almost,
what do you feel?
I almost pick up on like an ultimatum.
Okay, yeah, it's probably something that I wouldn't say I gave him maybe like a loving ultimatum, like, look, we have to do this, or just let me know what you're going to do so I can make a decision. Yeah, I kind of been telling him that. Let me know, you don't have to, you know, be with me if you don't want to. Just let me know. It's like he has to make a decision now. I've been with him coming up 5 years at the end of this year. So it's a long time, you know?
Yes. And Well, sweetie, again, you're going to have to be the one doing the kind of, I see, like, bending backwards, okay?
Do you see him meeting my family within 3 months?
Well, I still think he's going to be distant from you, honey, in 3 months, and I think that's where that ultimatum comes in, and I think you're the one doing it. And unfortunately, with an 8, honey, that's not a good place to put him, okay? 8s don't like to be put in a corner. And it's like, you know, I didn't want to sign up for this. I function very well by myself. And normally, 8s don't want a lot of drama, honey, okay?
When do you see that I'll physically see him next? Do you pick up on anything?
Let's see here, my dear. Okay, the number 5 comes in. Okay, and I feel that it might be within 5 weeks. How far are you guys away from one another?
Oh, it varies because he does travel a lot for work. So, and it's already, you know, long distance. So he's like never in one spot anyway.
Okay, you know that this is going to be a hard relationship, my dear, and even with you moving to be with him, he's not going to be around a lot, okay? He's going to be very busy. He's still going to be doing what he needs to do, so I really want you to be at a good place, honey, about you being out of your element, okay? Out of all surroundings that are familiar with you, because otherwise resentment's going to come in here, honey, and it's going to be, you know, like, I've done this, I've done that, and I see the arguments brewing. It's like a pressure cooker and getting ready to explode. I guess maybe I'm from the old school, honey, and you've invested a long time here with this gentleman. Usually by now you're fully invested or you're not. And I'm not feeling a ring on your left finger.
You're not?
Well, not right now. You're not wearing an engagement ring or anything?
No, but that's what my goal is, and he knows that that's, like, what's going to keep this going. Like, because the thing is, like, in my culture, it's a little different. Like, he knows, like, you know, if he proposes to me here, he knows I'm going to say yes. But he has to ask, like, my hand of marriage to my family, so that's the hard part. You know what I mean?
Exactly, honey. Well, he's had a long time to muster up and ask. Mm-hmm. Okay, 5 years, honey, is a okay. And Anthony is my spirit guide, and he's tuning in here a little bit more with me. And it's like this year is going to be the make or break it, honey. Okay.
Definitely. And what does he think it's going to lean more towards?
I think in 3 months, when you kind of put that ultimatum, honey, on him, if he doesn't show up with a ring, I don't feel that he's going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you sense, like, his vibe at the moment is like?
I think he cares, honey. He loves you. I just don't think he's in the right place for that type of commitment of settling down. I'm not really getting a sense of a wandering eye. I think he's very happy and contented, but he loves his freedom.
The thing is, like, I broke up with him for the first time ever in our relationship last month, and he, like, recently, earlier this month, like, try to weasel his way back in, and he's like, this is going to work out, and this, and I'm like, you know, just taking it, like, baby steps, but, you know, the next time he asks to see me, I'm going to tell him, well, I will put my guards down, but, you know, I need you to work up to start meeting my family and get the ball going. And so when I tell him that, how do you feel he's going to react to this? Because basically when I say meet my family, that means it's, like, serious, you know? So how do you feel he will react to what I tell him?
I get like goosebumps up and down my arms, so it like gives him the jitters.
You're breaking up.
Okay. It's like he gets the jitters. I my arms.
You're breaking up. I wish I could hear what you're saying.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay, dear. When you ask him again about meeting your family, I get goosebumps up and down my arms. And that's normally not a good sign, because it means that he's going to get jittery. He's going to get scared and nervous. And I think you need to ask him why it's so difficult, honey, about meeting your family.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, I know why it's difficult, because he does have some complications on his end, but it's something that he has to do. I'm not going to deal with his baggage anymore. So, like, of course, it is, you know, when you say he's nervous, I can totally understand why. I mean, to me, anyone's family is being nervous. It's nervous to meet somebody's family for the first time, you know. So I think that's just like a normal reaction to some people, because you're trying to impress them, you know what I mean?
Right, honey, but keep in mind it's been 5 years. Wow.
Well, literally it's 4 years, and it's going to be 5 years in July. So I just kind of, I said at the end of this year will be 5 years. I mean, 4.5 years is still a long time. No, you know, not trying to downplay that, but yeah, that is a long time. Trust me, that's why I'm like, at the end, this is a make it or break it year, you know?
Well, honey, it is. Right now, I just pick up a real nervousness with him. My emotional chakra really goes crazy when we talk about his family. But you know, if you took him meeting your family out of the equation, do you need their approval, honey? Is that what you're...
Yeah, it's in my culture. It can't be any other way. And he has to. It's something that he definitely has to do. You know what I mean?
Okay, honey. Well, I wish I could say that he's going to jump and be there for you, but I'm not picking that up right now in his energy. I think you're both going to be kind of passive. You're it's like re-grooming your relationship. But that ultimatum, I do feel, honey, within 3 months, and I see his feet like backtracking. So I think he's going to move backwards. But Lisp, just put it out there, honey. I know you love him and you want to be with him, but he's also got to be 100%, honey, invested too. And being, you know, in your family, your culture, this is part of you, and he has to jump on board. So let's just, sometimes when we can't talk them into doing something, mentally go into his higher self. Just telepathically, just put out there, you're going to love my family. We're going to be fine together. You know, overcome your
fears.
Yeah, definitely.
I do all the time. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. But it's, yeah, I've just been frustrated with him because the long distance obviously killed me. And I've been, like, blocking him from seeing me. Not that I don't want to see him. It just kills me when he leaves. So he's been trying to see me for so long. And I'm just kind of like, nope, you know, but in so many ways. And I said, you know, the next time, like, he does ask me, I'm going to be like, well, okay, I'll put my guards down, but this is what I desire you to do. Because, you know, I gave him the choice, like, you don't have to be with me. I'm not forcing you to be with me. Just let me know where this is going so I can make a decision for myself. You know, that's, like, the least he can give me after this long is, like, so I can make a fair decision. And he's kind of, like, took that away from me. He didn't want to give it to me. So after some time, I just said, you know what, I wish you the best in all you do, you know, just, you know, and I just kind of, like, pulled back. And then he called me, you know, try to reach out to me, like, all these different ways, and I kind of just wasn't responding, and he kept emailing me, and I finally responded, and he's, you know, saying, like, you know, I love you, this is going to work out, and this is Matt. But, you know, I kind of left it at that because I didn't want to give him so much information at once. But I know that the next time I do, you know, talk to him, he's going to ask to see me, and I'm going to be like, okay, well, you know, I want to see you too, but and I'll put my guards down, you know, but this is what I want you to do. And I, you know, I don't know. I hope he takes it well, because if he doesn't take it well, it's like, you know, why are you talking to me? I said, because, you know, I don't like sneaking out to see him like we're in high school. This is not fair for me. You know what I mean?
No, it's not, honey. And you know what you might want to do the next time he calls and wants to see you and say, I'm on board with that. You know, wear such and such because our date is going to be over meeting my family. So if you agree to this date, I'm all on board. And see what he does, honey. Keep your promises to yourself, honey. And you can, ask people to do something, but it's like changing the stripes on a zebra. People are what they are. And no matter how hard you want to try and you love them, they can't rise to the occasion. And sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is to be realistic and go, I love this person, but they're not a good emotional investment. Because your culture, honey, and I respect that. I think it's so wonderful that because your life is family, and he has to be a part of that. And if he doesn't, what type of relationship does he have with his family? Is it that challenging? And if it is, he should welcome being able to be into a family that's loving and accepting and just looking at the other side of the coin. Yeah. But I would see him. But tell him it's dinner with the family.
Exactly. I feel like your show's almost up, but I just want to ask like one last silly question. His birthday's on the 26th. Do you know what you feel like he's going to be doing for his birthday?
Instantly, male vibrations come in, honey. So I think he's going to be celebrating it with some guys, some friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wish I could say it was. I saw your or felt your vibration, but instantly, honey, it was like two or three male vibrations came in. I think he should try to be with you. And if he doesn't, I would definitely ask why not. I have to say this before we hang up. When a man is 5 years, honey, and traveling and in and out, has you ever thought that maybe he's involved, honey? Or are you sure he's not married or anything like that?
No, he's not. I've been to his home and stuff.
Yeah. You've been there. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because that's normally when men walk that pattern. It's because they live like dual lives.
Okay.
So if you've been... Okay. Thank you. Well, Vicki,
so
I listen. Email me. Let me know what's going on. And actually, let's do a little private session, and there's some other things we can go and talk about, which probably would be better not on the air, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Vicki, and good luck to you.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, another hour has passed, and I would like to say thank you for all the listeners. And please give us some information. Go to the website or BBS Radio. Let us know what you would like to hear. Send in your birthdays. Let me see if he or she is a good investment for you. And that's only my opinion, of course. So we want you to listen to your higher self and be the best of your best. So until next Monday evening, Anthony and I would like to bid you a good evening.